Now, when we were interrupted off air, we mentioned. I was asking what was your first memory of TV, and you were saying you didn't remember the exact show, but you remember.
Or shows. It was just a sense that TV was exciting. I mean, I can remember this TV in the living room in Cheadle Hume, which is near Manchester, if anyone knows it. And I cannot remember any of the programmes that were on. And I mean, all these events were before 1970 when we moved. But I can remember it was tremendously exciting. I was really quite, you know, worried when we moved and the TV went back to the rental place as whether I'd ever see TV again, because that would be a terrible loss. But yet again, I cannot remember any of the shows. I cannot remember ever seeing the moon landings or Doctor Who, or the only thing I can remember is Ken Doll's Diddy Men, which is weird because I think it only lasted one season and everyone's forgotten about it. So
you're right. I mean, I mentioned Gary Halliday, which is the most venerable rubbish you can think of. The main thing I remember was the opening credits, him standing in front of a propeller of a propeller-driven aeroplane, which was the very latest thing at the time of the show, wiping his hands with a rag or something. I think that's what he was doing. But you're right, I can't remember anything else about him.
Not even the name of the show?
Well, it was called Gary Halliday, I think, but that was it. You're right. You remember these tiny little fragments.
Ah, so you wouldn't even know if he was an American or a Briton.
He was a Brit, I think.
Right.
But I wouldn't swear to it. You get these things terribly wrong.
It just seems that people called Gary who have rags in their hands and fly planes, that sounds American to me.
Yes, but I think it was kind of an English person who was sort of becoming Americanized, which, of course, that's a whole conversation in itself, the Americanization of English popular culture. The way that suddenly people called Gary started popping up and talking with a slightly American twang, and of course pop music, the whole thing went American.
Yes, yes.
Which is seldom talked about, but is a basic fact. It's very weird.
Well, it was noticed with the Smiths that they were the first English group to sing in English accents.
Exactly. When an English pop group sings in an obviously English voice, it is anomalous. It's weird. The Psychedelic Furs. I remember them singing a song in the most defiantly public school accent and thinking that is very peculiar. All of which happened on TV, of course. I mean, the whole relationship between pop music and television is, again, a whole conversation in itself, and the excitement of it all.
Yes,
and also
yes,
that feeling yes. that we identified of the sense of a generation finding stuff it liked, which its parents just couldn't be doing with. That was all part of the fun as well, wasn't it?
I guess. I don't remember anything specifically. But
you don't sound like you're a very rebellious teenager.
Not really, no, no, no.
Yes, no. So you lived through the 60s, but you didn't really live in them. That's true of a lot of people, actually.
That's true. Yeah, the vast majority, in fact. Like that's the unspoken aspect of the 60s. But anyway, TV. I mean, I must admit, I thought when you were coming along, you were going to say something sort of profound or political about TV or the political aspect.
I've got some profundities scribbled on my notes, but I just didn't want to start with that because I'm so bored with people starting with that without coming out and saying they loved it. Or they didn't. Fair enough.
Yes.
But I want to know, which side are you on? Are you one of these anti-television bores, or did you love it?
Well, I did love it. I think I'm turning into one of these anti-television bores, as you put it, because I find the ideas very depressing, especially in drama. I think it's relentlessly left-wing. There's the sense of, you know, there's no freedom for new ideas to come into it. It's almost Soviet.
Maybe I resent that less because I don't go to the media for political opinions. And so when I don't get them, it doesn't bother me. I'm trying to think. Yes, I mean, I like the internet, and before that I read books if I wanted to know what I thought about politics. And I expect the media to be biased. If they're not biased one way, they're going to be biased in some other way. And it's just going to reflect the prejudices of people who've recently emerged from universities. That's how it's going to be. And this never seemed to me to be scandalous. You and I both have lots of political acquaintances in our part of the internet who think it is scandalous. And who spend their lives tracking all the mistakes or biases of the BBC in particular. I just can't get excited about that. I'm glad somebody's doing it, and I get it. It's important. It matters. Of course it matters. But personally, I don't feel got at. I mean, it's more important to me that I can listen to CD Review.
I mean, is that telling you you could watch a sort of modern drama with sort of, you know, the odd, you know, communist talking point sort of shoved into it and not get...
I just don't watch the dramas. I just don't watch them.
Right, okay, okay.
Yeah, that's it. To me, there's enough stuff that you can like without having to upset yourself with the stuff you don't like.
Hmm. But you don't watch dramas at all nowadays?
I watch American sitcoms, and what else do I watch? I watch detective stuff quite a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And there, the assumptions are not... They're not straightforwardly left-wing. They're in some ways more insidious, actually. I mean, I'll give you an example of what I've got in mind. One of the ideas that is relentlessly sold on detective dramas, especially the American ones, is the necessity of the database state. Because all the time you see the protagonists in these dramas, I'm thinking especially of NCIS, there is one character in particular whose entire job is to bust into other people's databases and find out all about the people they're investigating. And you can't help thinking as you watch this, wouldn't it be so much better if absolutely everything everybody ever did was recorded in one giant, you know, all-seeing machine, and then this bloke could just whistle it up without a lot of bother of having to think of the password or whatever, you know, just... And that's a pretty interesting thought, that somebody like me is being made to think that. I find myself thinking that. And actually, I think one of the odd effects of television has been to depopulate public spaces for quite a long time, but then to repopulate public spaces with surveillance cameras. So now everyone's on TV.
You mean to say that they were depopulated in that everyone stayed at home watching TV?
Well, not quite everyone, but everyone except petty criminals. There was a lot of discussion about whether, there has been for decades, a discussion about whether TV causes crime. And I think it does, but not by its content. I don't think people watch murders committed on the television and then think, I'm going to go and murder my philosophy professor because I've just seen that sort of thing happening on Inspector Morse. I don't think that happens. But what I think did happen, and I think there's evidence for this in the form of, you know, national statistical analysis, that the arrival of television coincides with a crime wave. Why? It's not because television is making people more criminal. It's because the sort of people who would previously have been preventing crime by simply looking at the world, surveilling the world, are no longer looking at the world. They're looking at this box in the corner of their front room.
I'm thinking of a sort of, you know, elderly lady in curlers looking out the window. And
yeah. Well, yes. It wasn't just elderly ladies, it was a lot of people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bit of an exaggeration, but people used to walk about in the streets much more.
Mm-hmm.
There was less to do at home. They can't all have been sitting at home having profound conversations with their children. I don't believe that happened a lot. I think people just got out and about more than they subsequently did. And the result was that the criminals suddenly had the whole of the public world to themselves. The only people who couldn't afford TVs because they basically hadn't got any anywhere nice to live and couldn't watch TV, were desperate for where the next, you know, next few bob was going to come from, and they were able to plunder to their heart's content in a way they hadn't been able to do before the arrival of TV. I really think that was the big crime effect of TV. It wasn't anything to do with whether
what was on it.
Yeah,
it was
nothing to do with what. If anything, the very respectability of what was on it enticed respectable people to watch it and thereby made the crime thing worse. If it had been nothing but stories about petty criminals and tramps and drug addicts, then maybe they would all have watched TV instead of committing lots more crimes.
Well, it's a theory.
And I also believe that surveillance, mass surveillance, has diminished crime a lot.
Yes.
That's not. I mean, you and I both call ourselves libertarians, and we have many friends who insist that this isn't so. My feeling is bollocks. I think it has reduced crime hugely.
Yes.
That, in other words, that the impression given by NCIS, you know, the fat bloke who does the computers, that having everything surveilled and being able to whistle up film of everybody at a certain time in a certain place, who came into that shop and all this stuff, has diminished crime in a huge way.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a whole new job which consists of watching television, really boring television, waiting for somebody up to no good to come into the frame, which didn't used to exist. So in other words, television caused the crime wave, and then another kind of television moderated it. I don't know if it's right down to the pre-television numbers. I mean,
they were extraordinary.
Even as I talk, I know that people are going to say, "What about sort of the collapse of Christian values and all that sort of stuff?" And I think that there's plenty of truth in those sorts of observations. And TV probably, in the long run, has done quite a bit of undermining on that front. But the big effect was taking people's eyes off the world,
the
physical world, and turning them towards this, as we now call it, virtual world.
I'm just trying to think if there's any way of testing that idea. I mean, because it's so unusual to hear about.
My understanding is that studies were done where they were able to look at countries where TV had arrived rather late.
Yeah, what's his answer?
And there's the graph of TV ownership, and then within a fixed time, which is the same everywhere, the graph of crime.
Uh-huh.
Now, that doesn't prove cause and effect. We all know correlation isn't causation. But if you have a plausible theory as to what's going on, and you talk to the criminals and say, "Why did you do this?" And a lot of them say, "Well, because suddenly we could," then I think you've got yourself a plausible story. But I've always believed that the idea that you watch TV and go out and copy it is just nonsense. I don't see any of. And by the way, the slaughter on television every night just goes up and up. I mean, 5 people die in Oxford every night, you know, on either Morse or Lewis or both. And nobody in Oxford would now be alive if television caused people to copy what they saw.
Is there a Derek and Clive sketch where Peter Cook says he watched a programme on TV and the other day he killed 17,000 people? Brilliant send-up.
But what has happened also is that the people who defend television against this charge that it causes crime have only been obliged to defend it on one count, which is that the content causes copycat crime.
Yes.
But I don't think that's what's going on.
Does that mean TV should be banned or should have been banned at the time?
Well, here's a plan to make, not to ban it. What about this? Why don't we, instead of people having big televisions in their homes, why don't they have smaller televisions that they can carry around with them?
Oh, yeah.
How about that?
Mm.
Let's try and persuade them to make those. I'm being humorous, you understand.
Yes.
Because that's sort of the big story of television right now, that people are no longer stuck inside their homes. They don't have to be to watch it. Now, when you go on a tube journey, you see lots of people kind of, in inverted commas, watching television.
Yes.
And if a crime were to take place within 50 yards of them, they might notice and put their television aside and at least witness it or do something that would diminish its chances of proceeding.
Mm.
So in other words, the invention of smaller, lighter and cheaper, because that means that young people and tramps can own them, means that you're going to that whole surveillance effect of the immediate arrival of television is going to be put in reverse. That might be another reason for crime to be diminished now.